For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Dear listeners, welcome to the Kodesh Family Church, Philadelphia, under the leadership of Bishop Dag Heward Mills. This denomination has grown with over several branches all over the world. We are excited to come your way with the anointed word of God, which has the power to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned as we receive God's word through his servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer.
Winning souls, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, please be seated. I bring you greetings from Ghana. I purposely ran away. Sometimes you have to run away and go and hide. So that's what I did. I try not to tell people. It's amazing, but whenever I come, I travel and I come back. I always ask specific questions just to see how the church is. And a lot of times, always the same. People don't come to church. People behave as though they come to church for me. It's amazing. Either I'm a very, very bad pastor, and I haven't done a good job this past few years, or then people are not really responding well. But you should come to church for yourself. Yes. The day you stand before the Lord, I won't be there. I would have to account for myself that day also. But your serving God should not depend on me. You see? Yeah. It should not depend on me at all. In fact, your spirituality and maturity is gauged by the ability to do well unsupervised. You understand? Yes. When you do well without supervision, that's a sign that you are doing well. Nobody is pushing you. Nobody is saying, do this, do that, but you are doing it on your own. So I'm sure there'll be more opportunities. So those of you who are home who are not here and you are listening to the podcast, that's my message to you, that try and know God for yourself and serve him for yourself. Amen. All right. Are you enjoying the book? We just have about 30 more minutes. It's a wonderful book, isn't it? How you can preach salvation. Wow. Nobody imagined that you could preach salvation this way, in so many ways. But thank God for our Papa, the Bishop, who has written such a wonderful book, isn't it? Whenever I take the book, I always go to the middle. I preached twice out of it before I traveled, and I always went right to the middle, isn't it? So 110 salvation messages, going by the number of chapters. Let's look at chapter 52, The House on a Rock. Let's share from it a little bit. The House on a Rock. Yep. Are we preaching salvation? Are you telling more people about Jesus? That is what we expect to do, especially with our self-centers, isn't it? Want to preach salvation. All right. Page 285, The House on a Rock. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. Everybody say, it fell not. All right, that's the old King James way of saying it did not fall. It fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall. Amen. So this chapter is teaching us that we can preach salvation in a sense of letting people know that building or how we build is important, isn't it? Yes. Now, the passage that we just read, that's a side note here, that we just read. If you notice, you will see that the storms that came against the house that was built on the rock was the same storms that came on the house that was built on the sand. So in other words, it doesn't matter who you are or what you are or where you come from. Nobody is exempted from storms. You will face storms. Difficult times come to everyone. You look like somebody who has not had any difficulty. Mr. Morris. Yeah. So storms come. If I want you to read this passage and you look at the description of the storms that came against the house on the rock and the one on the sand, you can interchangeably read the description of the storm for the storm that came on the sand. You can exchange it with the description of the storm that came on the, and it's the same thing. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell as the one on the sand, and great was the fall. But the one on the rock stood firm. And the difference between the house on this, we know, isn't it? We've all been in Sunday school before, isn't it? The difference between the house that was built on the rock and the house that was built on the sand, the difference is that the one that was built on the sand, on the rock, rather, was the kind of a person that, you know, heard the word, isn't it? And did the word. So in other words, it's not just the hearing. It's not just a hearing, but it is the doing of the word of God that makes the difference. Yeah. You know, sometimes as Christians who come to church or go to church, or, you know, we spend time in church, we complain about God. Yes. Your circumstances in life, your situation in life, your stability in life depends on how you follow God, in the sense of doing what he asks or he says you should do. Not just a hearing. That's what hearing we all hear. This morning I was listening to Bishop Ayedepo when he was talking about faith. Bishop Dang is also preaching about faith, isn't it? At the Mountain of the Lord Convention. And he was talking about the fact that faith is not just repeating what God says. It's not just repeating what God says or just hearing what God says. Faith is actually obedience. Bishop is actually preaching the same thing. Yeah. So it is the doing of the word, not just the hearing. That's what makes the difference. You see, so the difference between a successful Christian, someone who seems to be doing well and stable, and the one that seems to be struggling, the difference, the main difference is that one is actually an obedient Christian, not just a hearing. Because as for the hearing, even Satan hears. But the Bible says he believes and he shivers. He's afraid. So it is the carrying out of the word of God that makes us solid. Amen. So, build your house on the rock. We can preach salvation and ask people to build their house on the rock and be wise people building it by obeying and doing what God wants us to do. Isn't it? All right, let's go back to the book, the point. So point number one, build your house on the rock. Jesus likens your life to the building of a house. Yeah. Our lives are like buildings. And Jesus here is likening our lives as to the building of a house. Now, the way a house is built will determine how much it survives, isn't it? In Psalm 127, verse 1, it says, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wicked, but in vain. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain. So our bodies, our beings, our buildings that God is building. And Bible is saying here that except the Lord himself build it, it's useless. So we can preach salvation that way by telling people that, look, except God really builds your life, you are wasting your time. It's not going to amount to anything. Amen. Number two, build your house on the rock. Beware of things that are done quickly. You can do things quickly, but things done quickly are fraught with evil. Yeah. Some people like quick fixes. You want everything to be quick, smart. You don't want to go the full length. You know, when you're building a house, a real house with a solid foundation takes time. Yeah. In fact, it's when I came to America that I realized that houses can be done so quickly. Because where I come from, houses are built years. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Houses are built very, very, very slowly. In fact, people can build houses and they will just build one room. And it's not even totally, done, and they'll be living in it. And they'll buy blocks and cement bit by bit and just be, So even after 1 year, you see that what has been added to the house is maybe just 2 feet of concrete. So buildings, real solid buildings, take time. You see, when you build something that is done rushedly and so quickly, it is never solid. Do you get it? Yeah. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 22 says, he that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not the poverty that shall come upon him. This scripture is using wealth, trying to be rich quickly, to emphasize the point that trying to do something so quickly usually is not very successful. It takes time. You understand? It takes time. Yeah. God will build us up, but when he's building, it takes time. Bit by bit, block upon block, line by line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, but he's building us. Amen. How many of you have noticed that your life has become better and better and better and better bit by bit? Isn't it? Yeah. The way you were 2 years ago is quite different from how you are today. That is how God builds. He builds us up bit by bit. Amen. So sometimes you can also, as you are witness, you tell people that, look, God will build you up. It doesn't matter how low or how wretched you feel you are, or how you think that maybe you can never make it. You are so down there, so out, that you are totally ruled out. God will build you up. Amen. Number three, build your house on a rock. The third point, beware of things that look easy. The easy way is often not the right way. One of the reasons why people don't like to make decisions for Christ, to follow Christ, is because they like easy things. Yes. I mean, it's easy to sleep more on Sunday. I mean, it's easy to stay home on Sunday to watch the World Cup. Yeah. That's one of the questions I asked when I came, that people who did not come to church, yeah, but they stayed home to watch France and Croatia. I mean, you don't even have shares in the game. At the end of the game, yeah, they went to bars to watch it. Yeah, somebody sent me a clip of a man in church. Do you see that one? And the person was in church, and he was sitting down, and he had put his head on one of the pews like that. And he had a baby seat, you know, carrier. And his baby was in the carrier. But on top of the baby was his phone. Yeah, real thing, live video clip. So as the pastor was preaching, he was watching his soccer. It's not easy. You understand? It's not easy to build a good thing. Every good thing that is built takes time and it's difficult. It's challenging. Yeah. Easy things are usually things that are not. You're welcome. Oh, okay. She needs a Bible? All right, let's go on quickly. So easy things are not usually good. You see, in Matthew 7, verse 13 to 40, it says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat." You see, people like easy things. And the easy things, more people you'll find doing that, those things. But the difficult one, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, unto life, and few there be that find it. Very few people will find those things. Difficult things. Yeah. That is why when we have all night, praying from 9:30 to 4 a.m., few people will come. That is why also during the week, a church that you should see quite a significant amount of people on midweek service, during midweek service, Wednesday service, very few people will come because it is more difficult. People just like easy things. So as you preach Christ, you want to make this point also that, look, the right thing is to choose the difficult thing, because that is what will really bring a good building out of you. Amen. And the fourth point, actually that's what we even started with. Build your house on the rock. The same types of storms come to everyone, isn't it? Yeah. There are several types of storms. These storms come to everybody, rich, poor, and famous. Job 14:1-2. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. See, the same adjective, beat vehemently, is used to describe each person's storm. You may be a chicken farmer. You may lose all your chickens in an epidemic. This is a kind of storm. You may be a bank manager who loses his treasurer's job unexpectedly. This is also a kind of storm. You may be an investor who loses all his investments, stocks, and bonds in the financial crisis. You may be a happily married person who never expected to get divorced, but it happened, isn't it? You may lose a loved one suddenly and find yourself organizing an unexpected funeral. You may be a couple that is unable to have a child. You may hear bad news from the doctor that you are going to die soon. These are all types of storms. Yes. All right? But the point that is being made here is that the effect of the storm on the building, which is you, depends on how solid the building is. And how solid the building is depends on what you do with God's word, isn't it? When you obey God's word and you do what he wants you to do, what happens is that you become a solid building. That is what makes, you see, when you see some of these great men of God and things like, it doesn't mean that they never go through things. But sometimes when they tell you their stories, recently, my wife was listening to, lady pastor was listening to a clip, I think that somebody had sent her. In fact, at the point, I felt that the clip was even too much. I said, why are you watching it? Let's just put it up. I don't want to hear these things at this time. Because were we coming from a funeral that day? I think so, somewhere, you know? And this guy was just narrating. Now, this is a great big man of God doing the work of God. And he was just telling his story. I mean, it was so pathetic. There was a day he had about 5-6 people die in the family. One day. Went through different stages of being in people's homes. Sometimes we sleep in the garage of people. They would not give him food. Even sometimes he wants to eat the dog's food, he may not even get it. Terrible things. Do you see? But as he's standing there preaching to a large crowd, very well established, you won't believe that was his story. You see? But what made him solid is that at the point he got hold of God and he obeyed God. Yeah. What makes you solid, and that would help you overcome the difficulties that will come to you, is how you relate to God in obeying him. Yeah. If you don't obey him now and you don't flow with him and do the things he wants you to do, then when those storms come, you will just quench. And great will be your fall. Yeah. I think that this is one of the reasons why a lot of Christians tend not to survive in church. Then number five. But number 5, 6, 7, and 8 all talk about death. Death is not a very nice thing to talk about. I particularly don't enjoy talking about death. But it's life. It's part of life, isn't it? So it is also one of the storms that comes. The final and great storm of life is the storm of death. And it comes to everyone. This storm of death will definitely come to everyone, no matter who you are. when the certain storm of death comes, will you be ready? After the storm of death, you will be faced with the storm of judgment. If you build your house on the sand, you will not survive. You will go to hell. Wow. It's true. It's not a nice thing to talk about, but it's the truth. We will all one day die. Hebrews 9:27 says, and it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Will stand before God and give an account of everything that you've done. Yeah. Listen, death is real, and life after death is also real. And we as Christians must be very cognizant about it. And as we share Christ, we must also make that known to people that one day they will die. When you listen to or watch near-death life experience, how many of you have listened to stories, real stories about people who died and came back? Yeah, it's a very fantastic story. It's real. You will come out of your body and you see your body lying there. You see, last night this morning I was sharing with Lady Pastor. Last night I was lying down, and all of a sudden, it was like a dream vision. I saw myself out, and I was fighting a demon, a spirit, and I was commanding it to. It was just, I saw myself lying, because we're both lying in the family room, in the couch. She was lying one and I was on the other one, because we didn't go upstairs last night. And I actually saw myself lying down there, and I saw myself standing there also talking to a demon that was trying to harass me, and I was commanding it to leave, and I kept calling, say, leave in Jesus' name, leave in Jesus' name, leave in Jesus' name, leave in Jesus' name. Yeah, the point I said, I call on angels, take this demon away. Then suddenly he looked at me, and then he did this, then away. Yeah, that day, that's how you see yourself. You will see yourself, you know, there. And you see yourself come on. You wonder, where am I? Your body is there. Very real. Very, very real. Google them and listen to them. And watch them. There's one called the Lazarus Phenomenon. Watch it. It's a series. Yeah, like 2 or 3 episodes. Yeah. And watch. There's a website now, yeah. And we will all get there one day. If the Lord doesn't come. Yeah. If the Lord doesn't come, the next thing is death. You see. And we will stand before God and we'll be judged. Yeah. One of the things that people who have experienced this report is that he said, your life is played. Is it not so, Lady Pastor? Yeah, your life is played in front of you. He said, they'll be showing you videos of your life. You see, in the spirit realm, time is irrelevant. So, a 50, 60-year video can be shown in 1 second. It's everything. Some of it, you cover your eyes. You don't want to see yourself. The things that you've done. And you'll give an account of it, every one of it, for the Lord. Yeah. I think this is one of the good things about this book, you see, because we're learning how to preach salvation. But I think it's also checking us. As we are preaching, we are learning how to preach salvation. We're also learning how to correct ourselves, that we would also be judged. I mean, you are telling somebody that they'll be judged. It's a self-reminder that you will also be judged. Yeah, you see. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's real. Life and death is real. Death is as real as life. And we don't like talking about it, but that is what it is. Yes. When we share Christ, we let people know that one day they will die and they will stand before the Lord. Amen. Let's bow down our heads and close in prayer. Pray for yourself. Put your hand on your heart and just pray for yourself tonight. Yes. Pray for yourself that God will help you to build appropriately. To build, to allow God to build the way he wants to build. It says, except the Lord build a house, we labor in vain. That you will be built up the way God wants you to be built up. Pray for yourself that way. Jesus. Come on, I want to hear some prayer. Lift up your voice. Speak to God. Say, Lord, build me. Build me. Build me. Build me. Yes. Build me, Lord. Build me. Yes. 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 Pray also for yourself tonight that you will also be a source of a message. That you'll be someone that will be able to share. You'll be able to share this word with people. Telling them about Christ. Telling them about Jesus. Telling them about the fact that they are buildings. Using this message to preach salvation. To help people to come to know Jesus Christ. Pray that that will be something that you'll be able to achieve. In Jesus' name. Yes. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Father, we are so grateful to you for tonight again. Thank you that you have made us even ambassadors of Christ. You have made us ministers of reconciliation. Not only have you saved us, but Lord, you have committed this ministry to us to share Christ. I pray tonight, Lord, that as we learn how to preach salvation, we will be effective. We will learn how to minister salvation. We would even know how to rightly divide your word of truth, even pertaining to salvation. Workmen who needed not be ashamed. That through even these messages that we're learning, many more will be won to you. Our cell centers will be salvation centers, where salvation is preached, where salvation is shared, and many more will come to know you. We thank you. We bless you. And as we learn about these things, Lord, may we be reminded ourselves also, even of the fact that one day we'll also be standing before you to give an account. May that day even be a glorious day. Good day, Lord. That would even confidently stand before you and know that we've done a good job. So that you will say, well done, good and faithful servant. We bless you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, put your hands together for the Lord.